tired of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. I'm very happy to be welcoming once again Lisa Logan to the show. She is a concerned parent exposing the sinister agenda behind social-emotional learning programs that are destroying children's minds across America. You can find her YouTube channel, Parents of Patriots 6581. That's Parents of Patriots 6581. Or additional comedy from her on X at I Am Lisa Logan. That's at I Am Lisa Logan. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me back, Harrison.
Thank you. I'm very glad to have you back. And again, I think this is a topic that's worth returning to periodically to remind ourselves of how we got to this situation, where it all begins, what the subtle, you know, mental poison that has slowly been working its way through our country for decades, social emotional learning. And when I read in your intro that there's a sinister agenda behind this, I mean, it goes a lot deeper than just sort of softening up the American people to be easily exploited. Right? I mean, that's the obvious effect. But when you talk about a sinister agenda, tell us what you've discovered about the origins of this program, SEL, Social Emotional Learning.
Right. Well, when I started researching social emotional learning a little over 3 years ago, it was horrifyingly clear that they were using this program that was put into schools supposedly to help kids to recognize and manage their emotions, set healthy goals, build long-lasting and healthy relationships, to introduce and indoctrinate children into critical race and queer theory, as well as radical environmentalism in line with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. If that wasn't bad enough, then I discovered that they were measuring and tracking children's adoption of these mindsets, beliefs, and behaviors, and actually giving them a score, much like you would have if you, for instance, you know, were trying to get good at math and you wanted to measure your adoption of, you know, fractions. They actually were scoring them to see how well they were taking on these particular soft skills, which are very subjective and open to interpretation. I never expected to discover what we're going to be talking about today, which is that the whole ideology behind social emotional learning, and in fact, the whole field of emotional intelligence it's based upon, was actually born out of a radical religious cult ideology that's based in ancient mystical Eastern religions. And this ideology really just wants to get children to adopt collective beliefs over individuals, to believe that it's the common good that matters more than your freedoms and rights. And really, it's the whole idea behind it is that we come to this global consciousness because these wackadoo people actually believe that we need this global consciousness in order to make the next evolutionary leap in human evolution to this being of love. And that they're using these programs through social emotional learning to actually indoctrinate children into this whole worldview where that matters.
Yeah, I mean, let's not bury the lead here. This is what it says. The intention of social emotional learning from the Fetzer Institute was to, quote, help usher in the age of the archangel Michael, who would lead to the resurrection of the Christ consciousness. So this is like a cult thing. I mean, this is crazy. It starts off with just like, yeah, we want to help kids like sort of handle their emotions better. And you end up with, we are reorganizing humanity into a new collective consciousness to usher in the fourth turning and force evolution into a higher state. I mean, this is crazy. So tell us about the Fetzer Institute, first of all. What is the Fetzer Institute, and how are they involved in social emotional learning?
Well, Fetzer Institute, and really John Fetzer, who was its founder, he was a guy who was really, he was kind of grown up Seventh-day Adventist, started a radio station at his college. He actually ended up leaving Seventh-day Adventism and all of a sudden became the spiritual seeker. So he studied literally everything. We'll probably see one of the videos in the thread here. He literally dabbled in just about every kind of religion and philosophy that there was. But he was heavily influenced, for instance, by the Kabbalion, which was actually written by a New Thought, which a lot of times we now call New Age, writer and philosopher called William Walker Atkinson. So he did crazy things. I mean, he visited this camp called Camp Chesterfield in Michigan and channeled spirits and tried to have people hold pictures of their solar plexuses and try to get pictures of his ancestors that way. I mean, he literally had people channeling for him constantly. And when he was kind of in the beginning of starting his institute, he had this thing called the Monday Night Group, and they would get together and they would recite Alice Bailey, who was an occult theosophist, great invocation. And at the same time, he had his institute, and he wanted to really use his institute to merge science and religion together. He believed that they could be mutually, you know, working together and proving each other. And one of the things he did as a part of that, you know, because he wanted, again, everything his institute did was to bring about the age of the Archangel Michael. Interestingly enough, right? I mean, talk about burying the lead. This is insane. But for his institute to carry on his legacy, he actually created a trustee group that would hold his board of the Fetzer Institute accountable to this mission. So his symbol of his institute actually was the Archangel Michael. It was a triangle with Archangel Michael, kind of with his arms open like this. And the crazy part about all this, again, is that his institute bore the, you know, Daniel Goleman, who was a fellow at the Institute. They sent him on sabbatical to write the book Emotional Intelligence. They literally funded the whole thing. He came back, ended up becoming a New York Times bestseller. That whole field of emotional intelligence is what bore out social emotional learning. And they literally launched, through their seed money, the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning, which is the org that sets all the five standards for all social emotional learning programs. They even rate and review all the programs. And this is where all of this is now inserted into our schools. So the major question remains then, this is a very clearly cult purposes of this whole program to bring about global consciousness and all of this stuff. Why is it in our schools? This is literally a First Amendment violation of our rights, and it's literally basically introducing a statewide sanctioned religion.
Yeah, and you know, as you tell that story, what it reminds me of is Jim Jones. I don't know if you've ever looked into Jonestown and Jim Jones, but sort of the same type of thing where he portrayed himself as Christian, but you know, you can see in his history, he dabbled in a little bit of everything. He clearly had some overarching communistic ideas, and he, in the case of Jim Jones, happened to find that Christianity was just a convenient vessel to sort of launder his disturbed worldview through. And he actually said in his own words that, like, his intent was to destroy the church from the inside. He thought it was too powerful to be taken on from the outside, so he decided he would pretend to be Christian and lure all these Christians into communism and away from the base of the church. Not to get too far off track, but do you see sort of a similar process taking place here? Or, I mean, are these people nominally Christian? Like, how could you implement this and, you know, claim that you're ushering in some sort of biblical age when clearly this is about manipulation, it's underhanded, it's devious, it seems evil to me. I mean, what do you see as the, you know, spiritual makeup of this? Ethereal forces guiding this process?
Well, I think it can blend in very easily with Christianity because they're kind of deceptive. I mean, they do believe in Christ. They believe he was one of the spiritual masters, right? But they believe that there are many spiritual masters. And I think what it really boils down to, I have friends that describe this as oneness versus two-ness, right? Do you believe that you are separate from God? That you're not the same entity, that, you know, even though, you know, these people who believe it basically, it was called cosmological monism, where everything kind of started at the same point, and they actually believe that we're going to end up at the same point, but once we reach the stage of global consciousness. But they really believe that through Christ consciousness, which is not what, and again, the language is important, right? Because when you start invoking the name of Christ, you get Christians who are like, oh, you know, I want to be conscious of Christ's, you know, role in my life. And, you know, but that's not what they mean when they say Christ consciousness. It's really the consciousness that you are like God. And that you can, through spiritual study, meditation, enlightenment, you can actually become like God and tap into the energies of God and do things like manifest things in your life. And I mean, you saw this heavily promoted during the, basically since the 80s, in Oprah's daily television show that millions of housewives watch. It's been normalized into our culture without telling us that, hey, we're kind of feeding you here the concepts of a religion that believes that all is one. And so this is the problem, that the yoga, the meditation, all that stuff that became very popular, The Secret, you know, mm-hmm. that book that became a movie, all that stuff was normalized in our culture to have it just be okay when they weren't telling you, hey, this is Gnosticism, this is Hermeticism, this is New Thought. And she literally hosted all of those leaders on her show. So I think it's very deceptive, because then Oprah will come out and say, I'm a Christian, right? When she really doesn't. She doesn't believe that Christ is her savior. She can believe almost that she can be her own savior by tapping into that Christ consciousness.
Right. It's a very clear distinction between humility and narcissism. And that's something that I know we've pointed out quite a bit. When you break down so many of these movements, these pseudo-spiritual movements, whether it's LGBT or feminism or any of these things, at the end of the day, when you get right down to it, it's self-worship. It's people who are just, they worship themselves. They want themselves to be worshiped as gods. And I was having a conversation with somebody talking about transgenderism. This person was a far lefty, and they said, well, we're all transitioning. So what do you mean we're all transitioning? Well, we're all transitioning out of being human into being gods. Like, that is understood now by the wider public, that is the goal that the people in power say they want for humanity. Then the obvious question is, okay, who's going to be a god and who isn't? Because not everybody can be a god. I mean, break it down for us even more. How is this concept of social emotional learning? And you document this thoroughly on your X. I have a thread here where it's like, you have it, you know, chapter and verse, you have the documentation, you have proof of this is exactly what the intention is. This isn't speculation on your part. You're just publishing what these people say. And I think that's important to understand. And you explain how social emotional learning has led to critical race theory and, you know, the exploitation of racial grievances politically. Like, social emotional learning primed the American public to accept this. But talk even deeper about the emotional or the spiritual consequences of this type of program being implemented nationwide.
Well, it has several implications. For one, our students who are sending to school, right, as parents, we give birth to our children, we love them, we inculcate them with values since the time that they're born and enter our home. And it creates a sort of culture, right, where they belong to that culture. What happens with social emotional learning, when we start breaking down those fundamental cultural and familiar and beliefs that are formed and that are tied to something that they feel so secure in, when we start having them question those things and try to break them down so they can adopt new values, it creates disassociation in kids. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, you know, social emotional learning was brought into schools to help the the mental health crisis, right? And it keeps being pushed, actually, bipartisanly, which is unfortunate, right? I think that we need to start educating people about what this is really about. But it actually hurts their mental health to have their beliefs questioned, to have their family structure rocked, right? Because then they're being one person at school saying, yeah, I believe in these collective beliefs because they want to fit in and they belong at school, right? And actually, and this is actually why I recognized it from the start. I actually belonged to a cult for 7 years of my life, from about the time I was 16 till I was 23. So it kind of hit me that these circle times that they're having with kids, where they're being very vulnerable and sharing personal experiences and their thoughts and their dreams and their worries, they're putting them in a very vulnerable state to be indoctrinated and brainwashed. And it's actually a very targeted thing called sensitivity training. If you look it up, it's actually been used by the military for years to basically brainwash their soldiers harder than the enemy could brainwash them if they ended up on enemy lines. But what it does is it breaks them down. It creates almost like this trauma bonding situation where they feel the sense of belonging at school. And then that's when they hit them with the 1-2 punch, right? Then they start saying, well, if you want to be empathetic toward, you know, Jimmy over here who believes he's Jane, then you need to use his pronouns and you need to accept that he's a girl, even though he's biologically a boy. And so they really weaponize children's sense of kindness. And again, it's girl sense of, I mean, and just like you, the whole ideology of communism, right? The fact that we need to care about the common good because we're all one. You know, if someone doesn't have as much as I do, we need to redistribute wealth and power and resources to them. This is all feeds into this theory of cosmological monism, right? Because if you believe you all came from the same stardust, right? And something that I'm doing on this side of the earth is going to affect you on that side of the earth, then you need to care about that, right? You need to usurp your individual values and your individual rights and freedoms to make sure that that person's provided for, right? Because we're all trying to be a part of the collective good. So this whole theory of spirituality, what they say is spirituality, but just really religion being put into schools, it feeds this sense of communism, socialism, you know, even hermeticism, right? You just talked about gender. Hermeticism has a law of gender, which literally believes that every person has a male and female spirit inside of them. And if they believe that you are just mind and that you're trapped in this physical body, living a human experience, then, you know, your physical manifestation of whatever gender that is, I mean, that can be easily changed. It's not a big deal. And so you can see how a lot of these Eastern and mystical religious thought kind of is now being manifested today in what we're seeing in the culture wars happening right now in America.
Wow. You're really getting to the heart of it. I'm so happy to be having this conversation because it's sort of an obvious question of like, why are they pushing this so hard? Like, what is the underlying cause? Clearly they aren't like actually motivated by what they claim to be motivated by, right? When they talk, you know, why transgenderism is being pushed so hard, it's not to make the quarter of 1% of one per, you know, this tiny population is being abused. And it's not about that. Obviously, it's about something deeper. And the question always is like, but what is it exactly? And is it just, you know, destroying people's resistance to control by breaking it down? I think disassociation sort of lies at the heart of it, and you brought that up a couple times. And of course, anybody who's looked into cult programming, who's looked into MKUltra and Project Mockingbird, or even just, you know, domestic abuse or you know, trauma that you experienced as a little kid, the mental reaction to horrible things is to literally, in your own consciousness, make you think that you're a separate person than the person who witnessed those horrible things. It's a very, very, very powerful psychological reality that's constantly used. And again, you know, yeah, Jim Jones is kind of like the best example because he was, you know, run by the CIA and they were doing these mind control programs using people's spirituality, separating from their friends, giving them a place where they were, you know, felt like they were involved in something amazing and good. I mean, everything you're explaining, I kind of just want you to keep going. I'm just enjoying listening to you because you're drawing together all of these lines that are so amazing. The problem I see, like talking about the modern age and the way this is being dealt with in elementary schools and stuff, there's a big controversy right now where Texas is trying to get in clergy to be counselors in schools because they don't have enough counselors because the mental health crisis is so bad. And sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation where the world is so messed up that kids who before would just be happy-go-lucky riding their bike, they're depressed, they're transgender, they have all these mental issues. You can't exactly just not address that, right? But also when you bring in these people who have been trained by groups like the Fetzer Group, they only make things worse. So, I mean, in the modern world, when we have this massive plague of mental illness, what should the schools do? What should the parents do? What should people do to confront this issue? Because you can't just ignore it, and yet the things that we do to solve it seem to only make it worse. How do you confront the very real, you know, pandemic of a mental health crisis in children these days?
I think we cannot rely on the state to do that for us. You know, governmental programs always come with an agenda, and they come with strings. And anytime you throw money at something, you have to measure it. And so then you have to ask yourself, who gets to set the standards of what we measure? How do you define empathy? How do you define perspective taking? How do you define care? Right? Because that's the problem even with the transgender stuff, right? Like, and I'll talk about the chaplains in a minute, but that's a Trojan horse, actually, that I exposed in our state, luckily, to the bill sponsors right before it got out of the second committee. And the bill got trashed. And I just think that when we rely too much on the state, and we don't, the reason that kids are having mental health problems is multiple fold, right? We've got social media. You know, I think we have parents who are also disengaged. People don't have dinner together anymore. We don't sit down and have conversations. We're all like this with our phones. And these children are not feeling those types of strong bonds in their family. And this is why they're so susceptible to all of the stuff they see on social media and that they're taught in school that is indoctrination. And so I think we have to start in our own homes. Are you setting boundaries for your kids? Right? Are you saying, hey, listen, I only want you to do X amount of hours of screen time a day because you know why? I care about you and it's not healthy for you mentally to do that, right? I want you to learn a new skill. I want you to, like, kids are just so sucked into this world and we're not having that conversation. You know, instead we're like, government, please government me harder, daddy. Okay. Right. Like we can't keep doing that because we're not solving the problems. I think we need to have a return in society to really fostering what does it mean to have a healthy family and have healthy family interactions and engagement. And I think that that's the conversation we should start with as far as solving this problem. Now, the having the people in school, right, the chaplains, that is a big no-no. I actually know that the people who are training those chaplains are using transpersonal psychology and actually inculcating them into this whole idea that there is just one religion that we need to push. Fetzer has been very, very vocal about this at the Parliament of World Religions. They actually have a program going where they call it, they're talking nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
Sorry to interrupt. We got to go to commercial break really quick, but I'm really excited to hear this because I hadn't heard that angle on the chaplain bill. Again, it's just fascinating. We're barely scratching the surface. A lot more to come with Lisa Logan at I Am Lisa Logan on X, Parents of Patriots 6581 on YouTube.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD. Test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
I have been in a 28-year marathon.